I have a dream.
And we will make debate great again.
Let me just tell you how thrilling it really is, and what a challenge it is, because...
We are too simple, sometimes naive.
Now, I imagine that some of you might be wondering, well, why come here? Why would you choose this community? And the answer is simple.
As yesterday's positive report card shows, children do learn.
You are listening to the Contention One podcast. Time starts now.
Welcome to Contention One, China's first, best, only English language debate podcast. I'm Coach Josh, and as always, I'm here with Coach Durkee.
Shalom.
And we have a real doozy of an episode for you today. Up first is the Contention One official topic overview for the NSDA immigration topic. And a little bit later in the episode, we're going to talk about the NHSDLC topic and maybe provide some alternatives to their wording. But first, immigration. We've got a new topic for this semester. The topic is resolved on balance. Legal barriers to immigration are more harmful than beneficial to society.
Well, as a topic area, I think this is really cool and timely. Obviously, with Donald Trump and his silly little wall and the Brexit and the EU refugee crisis,
his little executive orders that he's signing.
Right, all those tiny, with his tiny hands, I don't know how he does it. So it's very timely. It's in the news. Immigration is in the news. I also just think it's a really good and interesting debate topic. It's really a broad topic, so we don't think it's really going to be possible to cover in one episode. So we're going to come back to it a bunch of times, but the breadth of the topic, how big it is also part of what I think makes it so interesting as a topic, because anyone with any set of interests can find ground or find things that they like researching and like talking about.
Yeah, for sure. I think like two different, debating a very narrow topic provides you with like one set of skills that you kind of learn, and debating like a huge topic, you really have to develop your research skills. That makes it a little bit more fun. There's some crazy arguments that come out.
More space for creativity.
Yeah.
So let's get into it. Let's see. Again, in case you missed it the first time, the topic is resolved. On balance, legal barriers to immigration are more harmful than beneficial to society. So I guess my first strategic insight on this topic would be that that's a somewhat awkward wording. Barriers are harmful means the pro is in support of more open immigration, while the con is in support of more legal attempts to control or prevent immigration. So that's the thing that you kind of are going to need to be careful with.
Yeah, it's kind of like a double negative.
I can't not love debate. Yeah, well, those awkward wordings really can be dangerous. You know, I know you've told the story before about how in the middle of your LD debate, you switched from being the pro to the con.
Yeah.
And with this kind of wording, the chance of that mistake happening is definitely elevated. And so it can be a little bit confusing, but I don't think that hurts the topic too much. It's definitely, immigration is a complicated issue. That complexity is what makes it awesome to debate and what gives you ground for your arguments. To help you get a little bit of control over that, I think it's useful to kind of categorize the different themes or areas of argument that can come up on this topic. So we think that there's five major themes: morality, economics, security, community, and politics. Both sides of the topic will be able to draw upon these five themes. And so we should talk about them a little bit really quick. So the first is morality, right? So part of the debate about immigration is balancing between the interests of individual freedom or opportunity and the collective interests of wanting to control who can and can't be in a certain society. Second one is economics. I know this is a big thing that you like a lot. And maybe I would say it's one of the big issues on the topic, probably the most important. Maybe? I don't know. If you research about it, it comes up a lot.
It's definitely one that people feel strongly about.
Yeah, for sure. So, of course, how easy it is for workers to move between countries will affect the global economy in a lot of different ways. And the third, of course, this is more argument up your alley, I guess, this issue of national security. You are the resident naval force of the podcast. So, you know, stopping pirates, the pirates at the gates, or whatever it is. That's how they talked about it, right? The pirates at the gates. Is a part of immigration, right? The terrorists are all trying to sneak in as immigrants to blow us up or whatever, blah, blah, blah. Those kind of arguments. The fourth set of arguments are arguments about community and about culture. You know, multiculturalism versus national cultures. Do we want to just let people move around everywhere and open up McDonald's everywhere? Or do we want to have more cultural diversity? And finally, arguments about politics, the popular makeup of your society, and the freedom that you have to leave the society should you disagree with it, or to find a new society that's cool to move to, will affect the kinds of pressures or motivations that government institutions in that society might have. So very famously, one economist said that open immigration is incompatible with the welfare state. That's a very famous topic quote related to the area of politics. And so all of those five areas are going to be important for the debate. And we will be coming back to them again and again as we continue to talk about this topic throughout the semester, moving along with our strategic takeaways, our strategic insights. Another big one, I think, is that this topic is not specific to one country.
That's right. The resolution says society, whether or not immigration, legal barriers to immigration are harmful or beneficial to society, not an individual society. So not like Chinese society or American society, but society in general, which is pretty vague, I think, for the way that we have to look at this. We have to look at it in kind of like maybe a hypothetical society, which kind of combines all of the different
perspectives, all the different sides. Yeah, I mean, if you look at the literature, a lot of times when people are debating about immigration, they're debating about it within a country, right? And they're having a debate. What kinds of restrictions should we have to maximize the interests of our society, our country? But this topic doesn't require that. So of course the con team could say we should approach the topic as if we are citizens of China. So we should think which kind of approach would be better for China. That's one set of arguments that you can make. But the pro has another set of arguments that says we should think about society as a global society. We are it's a global world that we live in. All of us are humans. Our humanity doesn't know borders. The borders are arbitrary. And so we should look at what kind of system of immigration control, if any, would benefit humanity as a global community, as a global society. And as long as the pro can make that argument, it's important to take that into account. I think some of the other topic previews that have come out maybe focused a little bit too much on the American immigration system, which is, of course, really, really complicated. I mean, I spent a whole year coaching policy debate at Whitman College where all I did was research about the American visa system, and I didn't really feel like I covered all of it. Not even close. And it's really complicated. There's a lot of acronyms. It can be really confusing. H-1B visas, EB visas, EB-5 visas, investor visas, F visas. All of those could be part of it, right? And if you fill up your head and spend all of your prep time focusing on sorting all of those out to the exclusion of thinking about other countries in the global perspective, that would leave you ill-prepared to debate on this topic, we think. The flip side of that, though, of course, the next strategic insight is that doesn't mean you can completely overlook the U.S. immigration system either, or any of those specific kind of examples. I think we both agree that part of why we're probably debating this topic right now has to do with Comrade Trump and his silly little border fence, his little border wall. And I know that some of our teams that have already been preparing are worried about this, and the pro is going to try to characterize, or can characterize, the con's arguments as being like Donald Trump. And since Donald Trump is such a clown, the con might be vulnerable to that characterization. And so the con's going to have to decide how do they deal with that.
Right. And I think that that kind of comes down to what each team is responsible for defending. And that's also a pretty complicated question on this topic, both because of the way that it's worded and because of the broadness of immigration. So like who in this case gets to defend the status quo?
That's the question, right? Who's defending the quo, right? So there's you know, let's start with the pro, okay? So the first pro option is the one that maybe would seem a little bit more realistic. In this approach, you would argue that the phrase on balance means that the resolution calls for a judgment on the world that currently exists. Balancing, weighing impacts is not a theoretical thing. It's a practical thing. You use a scale to balance things. And so you would argue that we have too many barriers and the effects of the current amount of barriers are overall negative or harmful. You would then argue that it would probably be better to have fewer legal barriers but avoid the more aggressive claim that we should have no legal barriers. And that's a fine option. That's one of the ways to be pro. It's more conservative, maybe more realistic. Strategically, that would help the pro avoid the accusation that they are too radical in their judgment or ideas. But at the same time, I think that there's a danger with this strategy, which is that you come across as too vague or self-serving. So if I stood up in the debate and I was like, I think we should have less restrictions on immigration. And then Josh, you asked me, so which ones should we keep and which ones should we get rid of? It's kind of unreasonable for me to not answer that question, right? It seems like I don't have clarity of thought. I'm not informed. I'm not specific. I'm not clear on what it is that I believe. And I think that might not be persuasive. And so there's strategic advantages and disadvantages there, costs and benefits of that choice.
And I think there's also the danger of you do know what those barriers that you want to get rid of are, and then when you say them, I'm like, well, actually, I think that you should have to defend like all of these other ones as well, right? And then we have a debate about what you do and do not get to defend,
right? And those debates are obviously hard to judge for the members of the public. Remember, it's a public forum, so you know that's obviously another danger. So a solution to that, on the other hand, the pro can be more aggressive. So as some of you may already know, Josh, you've written a sample pro case, have some additional evidence, and you've released that document on our website on contention1.com along with a video where you read the case and talk about it. And your example, you've taken the second more aggressive strategic path for the pro, which is you're going to just defend an open border type situation, I guess, because you wanted to avoid that kind of topicality debate mm-hmm. where you're spending the whole debate arguing about what it is the pro is defending, right. And you wanted to focus on the substance. So definitely, if you haven't already, go and watch that. For those of the listeners out there that haven't yet watched that video and read through your case, very briefly, what is it exactly that your arguments are? What are the harms of legal barriers?
Well, mostly this case is centered around global poverty, so that legal barriers kind of lock people into poor societies, developing countries, and they don't have any opportunity to escape from that, even to like into places where they would be welcomed and needed. And legal barriers to immigration kind of cement this messed up or this like very unequal world that we live in. Lifting those barriers to immigration would be better for everyone overall. You know, a lot of minimizing of the con team's harms, but like some very, very big impacts from poverty reduction.
Okay. Some people have accused this strategy of being too extreme or too radical. And those are smart people. I mean, you know, Coach Peter, Coach Charles, and Wuxi, they both kind of had that reaction that the pro side, if the pro side is defending this option, that seems extreme. And you know, that's a reasonable reaction. But on the other hand, there's quite a lot of literature defending this idea that we should just get rid of all the borders, that the system of borders on balance really is bad, and it could be bad for poverty and a variety of other reasons. And so, yeah, I think that, you know, that amount of literature and argument that exists out there, it can be a really good resource for debaters that want to take this approach on the pro.
Yeah, and you have to keep in mind, too, that In this kind of debate, the con team is going to try and stick you with like a lot more than you will want to defend. Just because you say that there shouldn't be barriers to immigration doesn't mean that like literally everything that makes a country goes away. Like the countries all still have specific laws Militaries. Yeah, militaries. All of that stuff is still there. So one of the, and this is part of the libertarian argument, right, which is what this option kind of is just that, like, it's not that we should allow everyone to just move freely between countries. It's that the market should decide, or like the ability or the availability of jobs is what kind of brings or dissuades people from going to that country. And so that's why it's like more of an economics-based debate. That's why you have to be like real specific about what you're defending.
Another strategic advantage of this, besides the literature that you've just described and the economics of it, is that it's bold. You know, as you said, you're not wasting time equivocating about what it is that you're defending on the pro. You're like, here's my vision. Here's what I believe in. I'm going to defend it. And it's big. It's bold. It's solid. It's clear. And all of that communicates a degree of confidence, right? You're willing to take a lot of change and make a big judgment on the world that currently exists.
Yeah, and a lot of judges are going to be receptive to that because they're not immigration lawyers. They're not like experts on all immigration policy all over the world. And so trying to get into that little minutia might make them uncomfortable. If you present like a big argument that's, you know, well evidenced and backed up, but still has like a very clear idea, they're going to be more receptive to that because that's going to be more, I think, what they are
first reaction
is going to be. Yeah. This is the type of debate that they want to see. Not to say that you can't convince them otherwise, or that the other arguments aren't going to be that they're not going to be receptive to other types of arguments, but
sure,
you know, it's always beneficial to go with what the judge is expecting.
Sure. I mean, each approach has its own costs and benefits, strategically speaking. The same is true for the con. As we mentioned before, the pro may try to characterize the con team as being like Donald Trump. And certainly there are Trump-style arguments that the con can take about the importance of a country's leaders putting that country's interests before people outside of that country, and about the dangers posed by radical extremists that want to enter into foreign countries and do harm to them, terrorism, and all of those kind of arguments. So there's like the Donald Trump style approach. And certainly some con teams can just own that and be like, no, Donald Trump, maybe he shouldn't be so discriminatory based on religion, but there's truth in what he says as far as the legitimate interests of a country in regulating immigration. But there's also other ways to be con. So there's the Bernie Sanders approach on the flip side, maybe the person that the Democrats should have picked to run against Donald Trump. And he's a socialist, you know, he's a good old-fashioned communist. And there's a whole other set of con arguments to make that say kind of against what your pro is here, right? That takes your libertarian pro head on and says the way to solve global poverty is not through freedom of movement, through open immigration, but through redistribution of wealth, you know, taking the money that's concentrated in very few rich people's hands and distributing that more equitably within societies and between societies, so that people can stay in the culture and the society in which they are born and not have to move outside of their society in order to get themselves out of poverty, right? And there are good arguments to be had for that strategy as well. And so the con doesn't have to take the Trumpian approach, although they can, of course. And, you know, the Trumpian approach was good enough to beat Hillary Clinton in a debate, at least. So can't be completely strategically dismissed. Bankrupt. Yeah. Okay, well, so that strategic choice, either you want to defend a little bit less legal barriers or no legal barriers, and whether you want to defend the Donald Trump approach or the Bernie Sanders approach is just one of many strategic decisions that you're going to have to make in order to get prepared to debate on this topic. You're going to face opponents that have made all of these decisions and more, so you definitely need to pay attention here. Even if you don't want to take the Bernie Sanders approach or the Donald Trump approach, you're going to have to debate against those. Even if you don't want to defend the libertarian no borders approach, some pro teams are going to do that, so you got to get ready to debate against that. And we will cover all of these arguments and more in more detail If you haven't already, definitely go to contention1.com and read Josh's case, watch his little video about it, check out his ever-evolving hairstyle and color, and come back next week. Next week's episode, we will cover the debate around brain drain versus brain gain as part of the economics of this topic. And again, we will put up some evidence and articles for you to read on that topic. So tune in next time and stay with us after the break. We will come back and we will talk about the United Nations.
Yeah.
You are listening to the Contention One podcast with your hosts, Coach Josh and Coach Dirty.
Welcome back. We have been talking about the immigration topic, but for now, we're going to do the old-fashioned pivot. We're going to switch to the other topic, NHS DLC topic. The United Nations is no longer important.
So those of you that have been listening to the podcast for a while might remember when this topic came out, because we saw it, I think, the day it came out.
We were recording.
Yeah, and we made some jokes about it on the podcast. And we thought it was, like, kind of problematic then, but recently NHS DLC put out sample cases, and I'm looking at them, and now we think it's real problematic.
Let me put it this way. I've been in debate for 15 years. Chabadoa. I'm an old man.
Okay.
In that time, I've looked at, literally hundreds, if not thousands, of resolutions. Mm-hmm. I think this is the worst one. If I was in poker, if we're using the poker analogy, and I went all in, this is the worst topic of all time. What topic do you have that can beat me? I want it to be clear to the audience. When we're saying things like this is the worst topic of all time, we're not saying that because we have some personal vendetta against the NHS DLC or anything like that. We're literally just talking about the topic, and we just think it's kind of ridiculous. So what we thought, we know a lot of you go to their competitions, and that's fine, that's great. But in order to help you out, we wanted to, talk about the topic and some of the arguments that we think are viable options on the topic or not viable options on the topic, as the case may be. Then maybe at the end of that, you will see a little bit of why we think about it the way we do.
Okay, so I've got my first biggest suggestion for winning a debate on this topic.
Yeah.
Flip con. Win the coin flip, choose to go con.
Right. Spend a lot of prep time practicing, manipulating the coin flip. Yeah.
All right. But I guess the easiest way to get into this is to talk about these sample cases, because I think that they show a lot of what the intention of the topic was, but then in the same vein, show what the problems are with the way that the topic's worded. So the pro case says, importance means as the state of being significant, which means that we should look at if the UN is still significant in the world.
That's circular.
Right. And the best way to decide if it's still significant is to look at what they've done in achieving and promoting peace and international cooperation. And then they have contention one, failure of peace. And then subpoint A is the Rwandan genocide. And subpoint B is failed to protect safe zones in the Bosnian civil war.
So again, the outline here, the first contention is that the UN didn't stop the Rwanda genocide and didn't protect peace during the Bosnia conflict in the Balkans. And the second contention is that it didn't promote international cooperation. The first reason is because there's problems with the oil for food program. And the second part is that the UN is responsible for causing a disease outbreak, cholera, in Haiti. Okay, that's it? That's the case?
Yep.
All right.
Okay, so my con case to this is going to be 30 seconds long.
Okay.
And it's the definition of important.
Okay.
Which actually I would just concede their definition, right? The state of being significant.
Okay. Right. Go ahead.
And I would say, like, importance does not mean that it's not bad.
Like
the Third Reich is not important.
Right. Hitler is not good, but that doesn't mean he was on importance
right.
in history.
Right. I think it also doesn't mean ineffective, which actually, to be fair, I think that's what the... I think that's the word that they meant to use.
Yes.
I think it was just like kind of a typo situation. That they, right. The United right. Nations Resolve is no longer effective.
Right.
Yeah. That actually could be a debate, right? But
still has some other issues, I think. Right. We'll get to those in a minute. But yeah, okay, effective. Conflating importance and effectiveness, right? Okay, I'll defend the case. Let's just sure. do a mock crossfire. Right. I'll, yeah. I'm the pro team. I'm defending that it's no longer important. These are my points. Go on.
Okay. So you're saying that Rwandan people are not important?
No.
You're saying the Rwandan genocide was not important?
No.
So you're saying that when people tried or failed to stop something like the Rwandan genocide, that was not important?
Well, I think it should have been stopped. I think it's bad that it didn't stop it. Okay, right. Okay, I see your point. Just because something causes something bad doesn't mean that it's unimportant. I think right. you could really make that point with their last subpoint where they're like, the UN caused... a disease
right.
outbreak.
Yeah, right.
So you're saying this institution's causing a disease outbreak, which killed a bunch of people in Haiti, is not significant. What?
Yeah, right.
That's their literally their point.
Yes.
It said spreading that disease, this is a serious bacterial disease that can kill in hours, spread rapidly. It's fatal in 50% of people, but you know.
This outbreak, which was directly caused by the UN. The UN caused this to happen. But not important.
Right. Ridiculous.
So I think my second strategy would be the UN, in fact, has never been important.
Well, sure it was.
Oh, tell me when it was important.
When it was created at the end of the World War II to establish a global security order after the end of the World War II. It created an architecture for resolving disputes, conflicts between great powers through peaceful... It created a forum for negotiation called the UN Security Council.
And that worked.
Right. In the 40s, but not now.
Can you give me an example of when it worked then?
Then. That's when it worked. Yeah. That's my example. My example is then, when it was created, it worked. I thought you were just setting me up for this question. I thought you were just going to concede my premise that it did work in the 1940s, even though I didn't have evidence or an example to support that, and then follow on with, so what point precisely did it stop working?
I think that that's a good, that is a good follow on. What I was trying to get was like an example out of you so that you would say, well, here's one instance of when it was important, and then I would use
right.
a later instance that was along the same lines. So I'd be like, oh, if I prove like one time when it stopped a conflict that could happen, does that mean that it's important now, right? If I prove like a modern day example.
Right. Of this, you don't even need a modern day empirical example. All you need is a modern day hypothetical example. Because the topic says no longer. Not like... the UN stopped being important.
So
it's no longer. So you could even be like, hypothetically, in the future, there could be a conflict like this. Are you saying definitively the UN 100% will be insignificant in that conflict? If you can't prove it, you got to vote for the con. Right?
Right.
I mean, that's
it.
Yeah, okay.
So.
You got any other strategies for the?
Sure. Well, I had a few. There's... A whole part about the UN fighting junk food. What is this? More than 2 billion people suffer from micronutrient deficiency, sorry.
This topic suffers from macro logic deficiency.
So we've got the UN Food and Agricultural Organization, the International Atomic Energy Agency, the International Civil Aviation Organization, the International Fund for Agricultural Development, the International Labor Organization, the International Maritime Organization, the International Monetary Fund, the International Telecommunications Union, United Nations Educational, Scientific, and Cultural Organization. Stop me if you see one that's important. I'm going to keep going. The Universal Postal Union, the World Bank Group. There's like 5 of them. The World Intellectual Property Organization, the World Meteorological Organization, the United Nations World Tourism Organization, the United Nations Office on Drugs and Crime, the World Health Organization, not important, the Office for Coordination of Humanitarian Affairs, The United Nations Office for Outer Space Affairs. Come on. That's super cool. It can't be that
important. The International
Seabed Authority. The Comprehensive Nuclear Test Ban Treaty Organization. The Organization for the Prohibition of Chemical Weapons. The United Nations Institute for Disarmament Research, the United Nations University, the United Nations Institute for Training and Research. This is a whole bunch of research.
Is this educational?
Yeah. The University for Peace, the International Center for Theoretical Physics. I mean...
Okay, what's your point? You're just reading... These are not the UN, right?
These are the UN. These are UN programs and special agencies that fall under the United Nations systems. You're going to tell me that none of these are important. If I prove one of these is important, do I win the debate?
How about the Peter Bullock strategy? Nothing matters.
I like this strategy, actually.
You got to be good Buddhists, all right? The idea of the UN is to try to control life, arbitrarily assign value. Who cares? Nothing matters. That's my pro strategy. That's the best that I can come. As far as making a coherent, but even that's not really coherent because I have to be able to defend, to say that it is no longer important. I have to be able to say that at one point things mattered, but now nothing matters.
Right. I think that you would say that a vote for the con is a like move towards your mindset of like nothing matters. And so like okay. In the world of the con, the UN is no longer important, nor is anything else.
It's no longer important the moment that you vote for the con.
Yeah, right.
Sorry, the pro.
Yeah, sorry, the pro.
Okay, yeah. All right. That reminds me. We probably should cover this very basically at the beginning. We just launch right into it. What is the UN and the League of Nations? Can you talk about that?
So, yeah. okay. Go ahead. The United Nations is a organization of 193 countries, literally all but like two countries in the world every country in the world is in at some way involved in it, but maybe not as a
member.
And there are six principal organs to the United Nations.
That's another crossfire question. If it's not important, why are 193? Why is like every country in the whole world involved in it?
Right.
Why do they send ambassadors to the UN?
Yeah. Can you name one other thing that a country sends an ambassador to that's not important?
I think I could research an answer to this. That's pretty good.
Wait, I got an answer.
Okay.
Canada, France. I might pull out the United States.
sure.
No longer important.
Look, let's just go back to that list. I mean, in all seriousness.
So, okay.
A moment of seriousness. The pro cannot be prepared. In order to be prepared, the pro has to say the UN fails or doesn't make a significant contribution in all of the following areas. And then we can go through that list you had, which includes things that how is the pro ever going to be prepared to defend that, you know, the United Nations Institute for Training and Research has never made anything important? Or like the International Center for Theoretical Physics. If there was one discovery that happens at the International Center for Theoretical Physics, that seems significant.
Well, in the future.
If you think research into physics might one day make a discovery, you have to vote for the con. Because they have a center where they study it there.
Yeah.
And that's how science works. You can never predict where the breakthrough is going to come from, right?
I mean, in policy debate, there is always these really, you know, you get like those ridiculous cases that happen. People just run for the story, basically. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that would maybe be like one of the, this would be a case that I would run for the story. It would be like, we stand against the resolution today that the United Nations is no longer important. We have 25 contentions. Contention one is the Food and Agricultural Organization. Here's a contribution from last year. Contention two is the International Atomic Energy Agency. Here's like something they did last year, right? And then just like go through 20, I don't know, like a huge number.
Right.
And then just wait for them and be like, well, they dropped number two, number three, number five.
Right. All of which by themselves are like, right. Yeah. And then you can also just be like, the point of us doing this is to prove the absurdity of this question itself. I think maybe they should reconsider, honestly.
Oh, yeah.
Honestly.
Well, it wouldn't be hard to just change the word. Just don't, I mean, take it from important and make it ineffective.
That's one solution. I have some other solutions. In fact, I've made a list of 10 alternative topics that I think are, well, they were like my top 10 replacement topics. 10 topics okay. that I think are good replacements for the NHS DLC topic.
All right, so I haven't seen these. I'll count them down. You can give them to us.
Okay.
So these are the top 10 topics the NHS DLC should use instead. Number 10.
Resolved, the League of Nations is no longer in
Number 9.
Resolved, humans are no longer better pop stars than panda bears.
No longer better pop stars than panda bears.
It's an internet thing.
Oh, okay.
Get asked this singer from
Yentai. Number 8.
Resolved, On That Point is no longer an important podcast.
Number 7.
Resolved, freedom of speech is no longer a more important human right than junk food.
These are the top 10 topics the NHS DLC should use instead. Number 6.
Resolved, Santa Claus is real.
I think we already settled that one, though. Number 5.
Resolved, Donald Trump's hair is real.
Ooh, yeah, I don't know. That's a tough one. Number 4.
Resolved, the UN is no longer impotent.
I think we could turn that into a dictum of debate. The top 10 topics NHS DLC should use instead, number 3.
Resolved, public gyms are no longer important places for poor people to shower. I stole that one from a Chinese debate show. They were debating it on Qipa Shuo, which is a Chinese debate show. I don't know. Some lady was on there. They're debating about this. It's pressing issues, all right? It's a culturally sensitive podcast.
Yeah, I mean, it's better than the UN. It's not important. So.
Okay.
Number 2.
Resolved, the UN will regain its importance once it is reincarnated.
Top 10 topics the NHS DLC should use instead. Number 1.
Resolved, the NHS DLC is no longer important.
You've been listening to the Contention One podcast. If you have any comments or questions, please email us at c1@debatechina.com. That's C as in contention, 1 as in the number 1, @debatechina.com.